Thanks, Luke. Good morning, guys. Lovely to be with you all here this morning, and the place is looking amazing. I was looking at your new front entrance and everything they're doing. It's incredible. So, and even the numbers here, it just seems like it's just popping, and you guys are always giving. So it's incredible to be with you this morning and see what the Lord is doing here. So just humbly come before you guys. So we are from Sunningdale, 11 a.m., and so Jen and Anka, Bessie and Abby, my wife Donna and my son Ethan, here with you. I don't know if there's any other 11 a.m. guys here, but greetings from 11 a.m., from a fellow Josh Jen congregation, serving under Andrew. So I was with Luke in the States about 3 weeks ago, so we did sit with very long stopovers and got to chat. And eventually that turned into an invite. So thank you, Luke, for being here. So this morning I'm sharing on friendship with God. And I hear, we often hear preachers on sonship. And we hear preachers on being a good worshiper. But I don't hear a lot of preachers on friendship with God. Is there such a thing as friendship with God? And if there is such a thing as friendship with God, if that is the case, what does it look like? So that's our journey today. That's our flight announcement destination today. So we know that Abraham was called a friend of God in James 2:23 in the ESV says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And we know Abram's not an irrelevant person for us. Abram is called, I think it's in Colossians 3:7. We don't have the scripture, but just referring to it, is he's called like our father spiritually. So, and back on James 2:23, Abram believed God and was counted him as righteousness. So there's a sense of us being similar to Abram. We know that Abram walked by God, by faith, and was justified by faith and not by works, and that's the same for us, and that was a shadow and a type for us. And he was called a friend of God. So if Abram walked as a friend of God, and we'll see in Matthew 13:67, so, we sometimes look at the guys in the Old Testament and say, oh, the guys in the Old Testament, we have such incredible respect for them. You know, if we think of Abraham, we think of Moses, we think of Job. But the Bible actually says that we are positioned better than them, even better than them. And that our covenant that we have is even better covenants and arrangement than they walked in. And we see that in Matthew 13:16-17. And there should be an encouragement for you that in some respects that we are, again, positioned better than them. But blessed are your eyes, Jesus saying, because they see and your ears because they hear, for truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Because of the blood of Jesus, because of what the Lord has done on the cross, the victory is done, the price that is paid for us, we have become sons and daughters of the living God, not by human choice, but born of the Spirit. We're born again. And in that respect, we should be at least the same as them. Can we be in agreement on that? So if Abram was a friend of God, and that was a thing, that we should be at least the same. Can we land there? So when we look at friendship, the word friendship means different things to different people. Does friendship mean buddy-buddy? I've even seen the t-shirts that many of the celebrities wear. Jesus is my homeboy. You can actually go look. I won't say which celebrities. But, what is friendship? You know, because, again, like it's the definition of love. I love my plants. I love my wife. I mean, there's vastly different things. So what does friendship mean when we actually look at friendship with God? And a key scripture for us, and we need to have this kind of hanging in the background all the time. And this is kind of lays a basis and our foundation for this concept of friendship with God. And it's a little snippet, a little wonder, a little amazing little secret dropped once, but you'll see it mirrored again and again through the Bible. And in Psalm 25:14, the ESV, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him. And I think for us, we struggle with that because it sounds like a paradox. How can we be friends with someone that we fear? And that we need to understand that is we need to understand that the friendship, I like to process it more as respect. We need to respect God for who He is. That He is omniscient. Omniscient, I'm going to teach you some words that you should all know. And if you don't know them now because they say a lot. Omniscient means that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. That God is omnipresent. That means He is everywhere. And that God is omnipotent, which means He is all-powerful. There is nothing that God is not capable of doing. And when we enter into this relationship with such a being, we can't ever lose sight of that truth. And Jesus even encourages us, and this is in Luke 12, 4-5, Jesus speaking. I tell you, my friends, so He's talking to His disciples. I tell you, my friends, and those that are follow Him, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear Him who after your body has been killed has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear Him. And it's not only, guys are getting it. It's not a buddy-buddy kind of thing. It's a deep respect for who He is. And I also want to say that that respect works in reverse as well. That He respects you. And we see that in Psalm 139, 14. And the reason that He respects you is because He made you. How could you not respect something that you made? That He lovingly and intentionally made. Psalm 139, 14. I praise You, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And that scripture is over your life for the rest of your days, as long as you walk on this earth. Have that scripture over you. Psalm 139 is one of the greatest psalms. You always got to circle back to it. And I think we will find in the church circling back to Psalm 139, over and over again, because it says something about not only that the respect that we have towards God for who He is, but there is a respect in return, and that we also understand that all relationships are built not only on trust, but all relationships are also built on respect. You know, some of us are walking in a lower level of respect that we should be. We're kind of walking in rejection. And we need to know that God made you, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully. So there's an awe around what God has made us. Not only our bodies, but our soul and our spirit. There's an eternalness about what each one of us carry. And I think the devil has tried to diminish it. Some of us have become too much. That's pride. But many of us have become too little. And we jump between too much or too little. They're both performance. We need to rest in who God has made us. I always remember that thing. God doesn't make junk. That you are precious. No matter what your earthly experience is, God looks at you with respect because He made you. Amen? So, God wants us to know Him. And really, that is one of the central themes here. John 17:3. Now, this is eternal life. Just wait for us for a sec to come up. 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they know you. Have I got it? Oh, that's Luke. John 73. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. It's easy in our Christian walks to just focus on salvation. To just focus on, I'm going to heaven. But here it says, now this is eternal life. Why don't you bring that up? It's when you get a chance. 17:3. John 17:3. Is it up? And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you. That the Lord wants us to know him. And that is a key thing, is that not only that we walk with him, but that we know him. We get to know him. And the word for know in the Greek is gnosko. And it means to know by spending time and having experience with someone. I know of most of you. Like, I'm looking around here. There were some visitors over there for the first time. Who are those visitors with us? Why don't you put up your hand if you don't mind again over there? Okay, so that young lady over there, young compared to me. What is your name with the flower dress? Gabriella. Okay, so I know of Gabriella, but I don't know Gabriella yet. Hopefully, you know, if she joins us and all the rest, you know, we'll slowly get to know. So I know of her, but I don't know her. And gnosko means that God doesn't want us to just know of him. He wants us to know him. And Jesus says this in 15, John 15:15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from the Father, I have made known to you. So John 15:15. I've called you friends. For everything I learned from the Father, I've made known to you. The Lord is talking about us. Have we got that one? Yeah. Yeah. So I no longer call you servants, because a master does not confide in his servants. Now you are my friends, since I've told you everything the Father told me. There's a sharing of ideas. And we got to ask ourselves the question, what is it like to know someone? It means that I let you in and you let me in, and we exchange thoughts and we exchange ideas. Do you know that God wants to have a relationship with you? And it's stated in that scripture that he wants you to let him in, but he also wants to let you in. He's interested in your thoughts, because that's how relation. He wants to share his thinking. It's in the Bible that the Holy Spirit gives us the mind of Christ, the mind, the thinking of Christ. He wants to share his thoughts with us. He wants you to know him. Nothing will encourage you more to know him more than a great understanding of how he knows you. Nothing will encourage you more in your desire to know him more than an understanding that he knows you. And he knows you so intimately. Luke 12:7 says in the NLT, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Some of us, I think there's guys in eldership. My eldership, half the guys don't have hair. So, but when they used to have hair, God knew how many strands of hair were on their heads. So when I look at you right now, I don't think anyone knows in the whole universe how many hairs are on your head right now. Okay, is that safe to say? But God knows. God's looking here and he's seeing the numbers. He knows how many hairs are on your head. They're numbered. And that you are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. And it follows a verse that says, not a single sparrow falls to the ground without the Father's permission. That's how much God's got you. And David shares, I'm going to get my wife to come up and while I have a thing of water. So my beautiful wife, give her a clap. She can come up if you don't mind. So David shares on God's knowledge of us individually in Psalm 139. And I'd really encourage you, yeah, I won't say anything more. I think that I'll let the scripture speak for itself. Psalm 139, 1 to 16. And my wife is a school teacher by profession. She's now full-time. And she has a beautiful spoken English pronunciation. So we often call upon her, and the grace and anointing just flows. So.
My superpower, reading to little children. Okay, I'm going to read from here. Okay, all right. Psalm 139, 1 to 16. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind, and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
So, we're going to read the same from the HPB, okay? Anyone know what the HPB is? The Hawaiian Pigeon. Thank you over there. So, I just want to say this is a legitimate Bible translation. It's not a mockery. It was translated for the indigenous Hawaiian people in 1985 by Wycliffe Bible Translators. It's a legit, okay? And the reason I want to read this is, besides being very funny, the Lord wants, I think the Lord shows us through this, is that there needs to be an authenticity between us and God that God really wants. And Luke, why don't you come up for a sec? So Luke is my... So I have a friendship with Luke, okay? And I think this is the... Remember, I'm not taking away from the fear of the Lord and all that. Yeah, remember, keep that at the bottom. But the Lord wants a friendship with us that is real and authentic. And I think we make it sometimes into something that it's not. And I know Andrew talks about this as well. For the visitors, Andrew leads us apostolically. Is that I don't refer to Luke when I first see him. And we serve together. We hang out together. You know, we don't like necessarily talk about church. We just hang out. And I don't say, oh, valuable and precious friend, how magnificent is our friendship. Maybe on his birthday. Thanks, Luke. You can have a seat. I don't. I just say, hey, Luke, how's it going? And I think sometimes in our relationship with God, we become religious. We start to have these, and I honestly think that God looks down and he goes, who are you talking to? Because he sees through it. And I think when the Wycliffe Bible translators translated Psalm 130, well, embarked on the task of the Hawaiian pigeon version, and penetrating that culture, that they had to, that they captured how that relationship should be. Because how would one Hawaiian speak to another Hawaiian? This is how one Hawaiian friend would speak to another Hawaiian friend. Excuse the accent, however it comes out.
So Joey and my first date was actually in Barbados. That's another story altogether. And everybody sounds like this. Doesn't matter. So I'm sounding more Caribbean than I think Hawaiian, but let's go for it. Okay. Okay, I'm going to do what is in front of me. God know me and take care of me. One David kind song for God, for the main music guy. Eh, you the one in charge. You check me all the time for see how I stay inside, as how you know everything about me. Every time I sit down or stand up, you know about all that. No matter you stay far away, you know what I think. From the time I wake up till the time I go sleep, you see where I go. You know already how I do stuff. Hey, boss, even before something come out of my mouth, for real, you know everything I go and tell. You stay all around me for take care of me. You put my hand, you put your hand on top of me for not let nothing happen to me. The way you know me, blow my mind. You know me better than I know me.
So there was a time, I was about 21 years old when I heard God say my name. Now, my name's actually Jose because I'm from Portuguese heritage, or Jose or Jose. And my nickname is Joey. That's how my friends know me, Joey. And I was, I'm a surfer. I was about to paddle out at Fence in Port Elizabeth. And it's only happened to me once in my whole life, and I'm 54 now. That was when I was 21, so 30 years ago. I heard God say my name, and whether it was audible, whether it was in my heart or mind, I'm not sure, but it was as clear as anything could ever be. And I just heard him say, Joey. And when you hear God say your name, it's like a explosion goes off on your head. Imagine, I'm trying to think of an example of a famous person. Imagine you managed to get to L.A., and at LA, they're having a premiere of a movie, and you're there in the crowd, and there's a red carpet, and the limo pulls up, this premiere for this big movie, and the limo door opens, and out comes Tom Cruise. Now, you can put whoever your famous person is there instead of Tom Cruise, okay? I'm just using Tom Cruise. And so Tom Cruise comes out, and everyone's like, oh, and he walks, and let's just say that previously, just randomly, you had met Tom Cruise before. And as he's walking, he spots you in the crowd. And everyone's looking at him, and he gets people out the way, and he says, hey, your name, yeah? Let's just say it's my name. Hey, Joey, it's so good to see you again. How are you? Imagine how you're going to feel in that moment. You're going to feel like, I was important enough to Tom Cruise. Either Tom Cruise is a genius or I was important. Let's land on I was important. I was important enough to Tom Cruise that he took the time to memorize my name. I want to tell you that you are, and how much greater is God than Tom Cruise. You are important enough to God that he took the effort to memorize and know your name. And the Bible says that in John 10:3, that he knows our name. He knows your name. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So God knows you. He knows how many hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. He saw you in your mother's womb. I wonder if I should say this. Okay, let me do it. And I don't mean this in a bad way. I mean this is a biological fact, okay? So I'm talking about biology now. And so in the creation of yourself, yeah, the meeting of a sperm and an egg, okay? Do you know how many sperm you beat? Millions. It's just so you know you're actually already a winner, okay? You already won a massive race. Okay, just a little nugget. I've heard it said before. God knows you at that moment. at the moment of conception, and he watched you grow. And he dreamed about you. You know, every day was written. His dream for you was written in a book. How's my dream for you? Before a single one came to pass. The world chases their own dreams. We need to chase God's dream. Because God's got a dream for you that's greater than anything we could come up with. Greater than we could ever imagine. God knows us and has got a plan for our lives. And here's my challenge to Josh, Jen, City Bowl. And I challenge the church, I challenge myself. He knows us. And the challenge is, and it sounds like a given, but I can tell you right now, prophetically, it's a message to us today. Will we know him? Will you know him? I don't think it's a given. Will you take the time to get to know him? John, I wonder if I should go there. Let me jump quickly to this. So, earlier, and I'm completely off note, so I'm going wild now. So, when I met Donna, we've been married 22 years. I thought she was freaking awesome. So, I wanted to get to know her. And I would do anything to try get time with her. And Luke brought the scripture about a treasure in a field. Maybe we can go there. Let's just go straight there. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and brought that field. I would do anything to try get time with Donna. I would organize behind the scenes. For even a moment with her. Are we organizing? Because are we in love with God? Because if I'm in love with God, I'm organizing. You know, one of the elders said, elders' wives, and I love elders' wives' inputs and elders, she said, I think we need to teach in quiet times towards the end of the year because you know what it's like. It's what typical, you know? We're winding down. We don't need to teach in quiet times if we're in love. I will do crazy things to spend time with Donna to get to know her. We will, no one needs to teach us in quiet times. We're chasing him because there's no being in the universe that we're more in love with than him. I just want time with Jesus. I'm thinking about when I go to sleep at night, how can I get some time with the Lord? Then you don't teach in quiet times. You're deep in the why, not the what. What the what looks like. I don't know. Figure it out. Some of us wake up early, we've got to go straight to work. Maybe that's, figure it out. But I know I would do anything to get that time with, and I will organize, and I'll be thinking about it behind the scenes. How can I get time? Do you know what I'm on time? I don't want to get into trouble here, Luke. I'm on 20. For reals. I think I didn't time myself. I think I started at 5 past, eh? Okay, at 5 past, we're at 25. Okay. Maybe the worship team can come up. Maybe I could just ask just everyone can just for a moment just bow your head and just close your eyes. And you know what I'm sharing on we're not capable of this by ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit. But I can tell you that God is super interested in having relationship with each one of us. With having friendship with each one of us. That for the basis of that friendship is that we respect Him for who He is, Creator God, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. But that being who created the universe is interested in having a friendship with you. And maybe some of us are missing it. We've kind of made this into something else. Something maybe even weird. God also respects you. He respects you so much that He wants to have friendship with you. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:22, and that Jesus' blood covers us so that we can enter boldly into His presence. Friends, we have got the greatest gift that we could ever receive, which is friendship with God, sealed with the blood of His Son. So when you're standing before the Lord, He sees the blood. And maybe some of us here have not yet got that blood on them. And the Bible encourages us, and I'll read it from Hebrews 10:22. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. The Lord doesn't see the sin. He sees the blood. And if we need to confess and make right with Him, we must do that. But ultimately, positionally, we are seated with Christ and we can have a face-to-face with Him. As Moses did, as Abraham did, and you can read about it as Job did. So Lord, we pray right now, God, we desire friendship with You, God. We see, Lord God, in John 15:5, that You don't want to call us servants, but You want to call us friends. Because there's something, for some reason, and I'm not sure why, that You want to have relationship and friendship with us little, small, created beings. But we understand that we are made, Colossians 1:16, we're made by Him and we're made for Him. And that God-shaped vacuum, we can put whatever we like in it, but nothing will satisfy except for relationship with God. Because that is what we're made for. And He has paved the way through the blood of His Son, Jesus, to cleanse us of all sin, so that we can stand before a holy God with confidence. Not by anything that we have done, but through that which He did on the cross 2,000 years ago, taking the punishment that we should have received for our sin upon Himself. It is done. God's wrath is satisfied in Jesus. Justice is satisfied through the cross. That we can stand boldly before Him with confidence. Amen? Just keep your heads bowed if you don't mind and eyes closed for a moment. You know, about, what is it, 36 years ago, someone preached this message that I can be reconciled to God through the cross. And I'd heard it many, many times in South Africa because we're kind of like a nominal Christian country. But in that moment, it was real for me. And the Holy Spirit came upon me and I was saved in that moment. And I was saved by the Holy Spirit. It regenerated me and became born again. If you're in this meeting today, it's on the table, the offer, that you come to God. But you can only come to God if you go through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus died for you, and he thought of you, and he had your name in his mind when he hung on the cross and carried your sin. But you need to receive him, and you need to acknowledge that. For some of us, we might have been away and making a mockery of that, and today you've got a chance to come back and say, God, I'm sorry. You paid with your precious blood, and I've been kind of trampling it. And for others, and this is a glorious moment, this might be like the first time you heard the good news, because the gospel means good news. That Jesus died for you so that you could have a friendship and a relationship with God. And that you could be saved today. That 2,000 years ago, God came in the body of a man in the nation of Israel. And he was doing a great work in Israel. And Israel was established by God for that purpose. And that man was called Jesus, God in the flesh. And he lived a perfect, sinless life so that he could be a sacrifice on our behalf. Only something that is pure and perfect could pay the price, could be atoned for us, was worthy of paying for our sin. And it's like you going to a court and you've been going 80 in a 60 zone and you are guilty. And Jesus comes and pays the fine that you couldn't pay because maybe you had no money and you would have gone to jail, which is eternal hell. But Jesus paid the price for you, but you got to receive it. If that's you today and you know you need to receive Jesus and accept that atonement that Jesus did on the cross for you, I just want you to raise your hand where you are and just say to the Lord, Lord, here I am today. I want to accept the sacrifice on the cross that your son made for me. So if that's you in the meeting, won't you just raise your hand where you are and we'll pray with you. Is anyone here today, you need to make right with the Lord and you know you need to receive him today. If your heart's going, you know you need to do it. Don't leave this meeting. Because you don't know if you've got tomorrow. And the Bible says that tremendous judgment waits for those that have not got him. And there's two queues in heaven, and the angels separate the sheep from the goats. Don't miss out on the opportunity. The Bible says there's once to live and then the judgment. Is there anyone in this meeting? Just raise your hand where you are and we'll pray with you. Otherwise, we'll move on. For the rest of us, I want to pray, and whoever else wants to pray, just Luke's leading the meeting, in the area of friendship with God. Okay, there was a response to the gospel. Praise the Lord. Sorry, I missed that hand. Where? Over here. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Would you mind coming up? Okay. All right, we're going to pray with you where you are, okay? The Lord sees you. What is your name? Amelia. All right, why don't we all pray together with Amelia? It doesn't hurt to pray the sinner's prayer even though you've prayed it before. You can pray it as many times as you like. So let's pray together. And Amelia, you can just pray along with us. And when you pray to Amelia, say it to the Lord. This is really between you and God. We're just witnesses. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. A sinner. Forgive me for my sin. I thank you for what you did on the cross for me. I love you, Jesus. I accept you today as my Lord and my Savior. Wash me clean. Cover me with your blood. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. I understand now that my body has been made clean and is now a temple for you. By your blood. Nothing washes in the universe sin except for the blood of Jesus. I am washed clean. I can be with you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can bow our heads one more time. So, as you just contemplate this challenge, if you're excited, and maybe it's all of us, but you know, if you're fighting with the Lord, that's fine. You're not going to get judged for sitting. But if you really, you know, this thing cannot be done by ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. Really? Otherwise, it just gets into religion. And if you're really saying, Holy Spirit, help me, I want this friendship with God like Abraham had. And I understand that he is one of my forefathers, someone who walked with God and had a face-to-face friendship. And I've been missing that a bit. I've been kind of stuck in this other weird thing. And today, God, I want to stand and say, I want to know you more than I've ever known you before. I want to start to take away any weirdness in my life, and I want to become that, you know what I mean in this context, the Hawaiian Christian. I want to be real with you, Lord. I've been stuck in religion. I've been saying these things when I'm a being that has been cleansed by your blood. I don't need to perform. I can just be now because of what your son did on the cross. And we can talk face to face as Abraham did. Why don't you just stand if that's you? And I just want to pray. Maybe this, leave it up to Luke. Maybe more want to pray here that God would help us to have that friendship that Abram had, and that he wants us, and that Jesus says he desires with us. I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Because a servant does not know his master's business. Brothers, sisters, we know the master's business. We are sons and daughters, and he wants that friendship with them. Amen. So Lord, I just pray. Maybe I'll hand over to Luke now, and we'll just can take into a little bit of prayer time.
Just a couple of things that Joey said, which I feel like some of us really need to hear and receive. I've never heard it said before. Yes, we respect God. We have a fear for the Lord, but the Lord also respects you. I've never heard that said before, but it's so profoundly true. And I feel like that's a word that, let's just close our eyes before the Lord. I feel like some of you needed to hear that this morning because you've been disrespected and you've not been appreciated and honored by people, and maybe abused. And God wanted to say this morning to you, I respect you too, because I made you and I don't make trash. I made you and I don't make trash. And God is a respecter of our yes, and he's a respecter of our no. And for some reason, because he's so gentle, because he's so honoring of us as people. He knocks. He doesn't kick the door down. He knocks on the door of our heart and he says, will you let me in? Some of us needed to hear that this morning. God respects your no, but he wants your yes. He wants to come in. He desires relationship with you. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning, we're so grateful that you're so honoring, that you're so gentle, that you're so humble, that you're so wise and good and kind. And Lord, we say yes. We say yes, would you come in? Would you come in and eat with us? Would you come in and dwell with us? Would you come in? Lord Jesus, you have our yes this morning. Oh Lord, we want a relationship with you too. Just in your heart, if you've had a wrestle with this very thing, you know what to do. You know what you need to say to the Lord. But let it be your words to the Lord. Make your yes to Jesus this morning and say, Lord, I trust you. I want you to come in to my life. Just Joey was saying, the Lord knows your name. Again, I feel like some of us needed to hear that this morning. Some of us feel lost in a crowd. Some of us look around at all these Christians and think, yeah, the Lord knows them and the Lord knows him and the Lord knows her, but I'm not sure about me. I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning, I know your name. I had dreams for your life before you lived a day. God wants you to know that he knows you. He loves you. He calls your name. The last thing I feel like the Lord is tugging on our hearts this morning. I feel like he's saying, would you come away with me? Would you make time for me? Would you respond when I come and gently tug on your heart? And I feel like this morning, can we, as we're already standing, so we've already said yes. But Lord, we want to say this morning, when you call us, we will come. Even the gentle whispers, Lord, we're going to say yes. Even as some of us are going away, some of us are going on holiday, some of us are going home. This morning we are standing and we are saying, Lord, when you call my name, I'm going to come away with you. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to get to know you. Lord, I want to pray for every precious person that you've called, that you know by name. Lord, would you call us away with you to the secret place, to the intimate place? Because you desire fellowship with us. You desire intimacy with us, Lord Jesus. Like there's both a warning and an encouragement for us as a congregation. The warning is, be careful of dead works. Be careful of dead religion. Be careful of just going through the motions. We had a leaders meeting this week. As we came in this place, I felt this strong caution in my spirit. Don't go through the motions. Don't go through rituals. Don't go through the clapping your hands, standing up, sitting down, singing songs. Jesus felt the Lord drop these words in my heart. I'd rather have 5 sincere words from your heart than 1,000 words of babble. He wants our hearts. That's the warning. The encouragement is God knows your name and he loves you and he wants to call you away with him. So just as we go into this week, can I commend you to the Lord and commend you to fellowship and intimacy with him? And let's be a faithful people that respond to the gentle whispers for intimacy with Jesus. Amen? Thank you so much, Joey and the team, for coming through. It really was a sweet morning.